Hey, we're live.
We are live. I've got a mug of decaf coffee. What do you have?
Wait, we both have our ugly mugs and then we have our pretty mugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. What I have here is a frozen snot mug filled with a warm tea.
Nice.
I forget what flavor, but it's nice. A little nut pod in there.
I have, like I said, decaf coffee in a pretty mug with our ugly mugs on it.
Nice. Ha! You win. I didn't plan my mug accordingly. I just grabbed one out of the thing. I didn't know this was going to be a competition. I definitely could have beat you had I known.
Yes. So, whatever. Yes, but you didn't, so I win.
Yeah. How are you?
Fabulous. How are you? How was your weekend? You did a lot of miles last week.
I did. Yep. Had a high mileage week, all time high mileage week for myself.
Yay.
I feel
aside really from races and FKTs, of course.
Yeah. Race weeks don't ever count.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. That's
not
count.
Fair.
Yeah.
If you do, I mean, a 100-mile trail run is amazing. You should brag about it. You are amazing. You are the king of the world. But
yep.
To then run like 20 more miles that whole week and say you ran 120. I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, you did.
120 mile training week, I think, is very different. And you did 120, 125, something like that.
123. Don't discount that 3 miles.
Ooh, that's almost a 5K. So I would not discount it. 123 mile training week. And how do you feel after that?
I feel really good. It was a confidence boosting week. It definitely, you know, us working folk, we have to maximize every second possible and able to even think about it, getting to that point, which is hard. I mean, even the weekend, it's like, you got to hammer it out. I had free time on the weekend, but let's face it, doing double long runs is, you know, I don't know about you, but when I do a long run on the weekend, I feel good about myself. I feel accomplished. And I feel like I don't really need to do anything else that day if I don't have to, you know, like yard work or work on the vehicles. You know, it's like I already won. Like I already did my chores.
Yeah.
So dumb. Yeah. But yeah, my body's holding up very, very nicely. I feel strong. I feel like I'm hardening myself, which is the whole point of training properly. And I hope that continues. I'm taking this week a little lighter mileage wise with a very long run on the weekend. I'll get into that a little bit later. I have something I want to talk about as far as coaching stuff goes. It's a good point that somebody brought up to me, but yeah, I'm good. Right now I'm 5 weeks out from my silly track race and I feel very confident in my training. I hope I can continue that with track meets coming up that are filling my week and allowing me to not run as much, but that's okay. Everything's fine. And we'll continue on.
Nice.
And for once, you didn't go out of state to run this weekend?
I know. I did not go out of state. Well, you know, just to wrap that up, I think it's exciting to watch your training. You've been sharing a lot of it and it's been fun to cheer you on and cheer on the accomplishments that you're hitting. So very cool. Well done.
Should I stop sharing so much? Is that what you're trying to hint at?
No, this was actually genuine. I would tell you if you were sharing too much.
I mean, I'll go dark, Grace. I will go dark.
I would absolutely tell you if you needed to go dark. Not afraid to do that. Not going to do it though. I do think it's, I like seeing the stuff that you're sharing right now. I think it's inspiring. So
this training that I'm doing now is definitely more intense. Yeah. Granted, I know it's flat and it doesn't matter. We're here for runners in general, not just trail runners, not just runners who love trails and elevation gain. Obviously, what I'm doing is to focus on my end goal race, which has no gain. So I don't feel like it's too important right now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm right. But this is the most intense training I've ever done for anything. And it's nice to get to that level and your body is still saying we're good to go every day. So it's exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
And you're doing it in a way that, I'm just going to say this and then I'm going to move on. You're doing it in a way, because we're going to talk about this next week, where you're prioritizing recovery. And I think that's really important to stay injury free. So you're not just willy-nilly doing a ton of miles and just seeing what happens. You know, you're doing it very strategically. So
right.
I think that's the key right there.
Yep. Trying my hardest with the time I have.
Yep.
All right. We should probably start the show since we're 5 minutes in, almost 6 minutes in.
Let's do it.
All right. You ready, Grace?
Ready.
Grace, going into races can be very stressful. We've got to talk about the best and worst decisions you can make. Hold on, I had to click a button. You can make as you toe that start line, and so you don't end up like Frankenstein on episode 109. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. Oh, is that what that is? Thanks for pointing it out, Grace.
It was hard to find. Kind of blends in with the background.
What I have here is a Boco Idiot Runner hat with the runner, cute runner guy in the front. And wait, where's the camera at? Idiot Runner on the back. And nice. Wait, where's the camera at? We're smart enough to know how dumb this is underneath the brim.
The
lighting does not do this color justice. It looks like yellow. It's a lime green.
Nice.
Yeah, she's going to Heiner, though, for anybody that wants one. I got an orange one, too, a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And, wait, and this one still has the tag, so this will be sold to one lucky person, hopefully, with my smell, my oils, and whatever else they want on it.
Whatever else, anything else they want on it.
And the best part is I'm mixing that in with the rest of them. So nope, they won't know.
Okay.
If they have it. Unless they
surprise.
Yeah.
Maybe somebody is going to buy all of them just to be sure that they get that one.
That's a good point. Good point.
That's what I would do.
Oh, episode 109.
Well, and I would say you're going to have a bunch of Idiot Runner gear at Heiner, and also you're going to have Running Mullet gear because you're going to have the Running Mullet socks, Running Mullet hats.
I'm going to have everything. It's going to be a tent full of deliciousness.
Oh, gosh. Too much. It's too much. I can't handle it.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, what's that, like 3 weeks away? Whew, good grief.
Yeah. Yeah, it's 3 weeks away.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I think we covered all the intro stuff. I don't have any jokes. I don't have any facts. I'm losing touch. Yeah.
Okay. I think the only other big update is that we always have a Heiner preview episode. We're going to have another Heiner preview episode. If you are looking for all of the insider tips on how to have a great Heiner weekend, we are going to reveal all of them to you, all the things. There's a lot of information on the website, but we got even more. We got even more. Because you've run Heiner. I've run Heiner. I've done the 25K and the 50K. Have you done, you've done the both of distances, right? Have you done both?
I've never done the 25K. I'd like to.
Okay. It's fun.
Yeah. I can tell from the people that are having a blast. Every time one of these years I will.
So we've done the course and we've been there hanging out, and we're going to give everybody all of the insider info. So even if you already know, still tune in to that episode that we'll do the day, the kind of the Monday before Heiner. That'll be our Heiner pregame episode. We'll tell you all the things. And even if you know all the things, you can tune in and add in on the conversation. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. big weekend. I hope the weather's nice. That's all I hope for.
Same. Agreed.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, what else you got before we dive into best / worst run / race decisions?
That's all I got. That's it. I'm good.
You're training for big stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm.
More than one big thing coming up.
Yeah.
I'm going to run this track race, 24-hour track race. And then I have 3 weeks, I think 3 weeks to get trail legs back for Laurel Highlands 70 miler.
I don't know how that's going to go.
That enough? Yeah.
I think so. Also because Laurel Highlands is pretty runnable.
Once you get through the hills.
I mean, the hills are, they're not bad.
Yeah, we'll see.
And it's like Laurel Highlands, it's the weekend right next to World's End. So it gets compared to World's End a lot.
And wait, I think both this year there's one in between.
Is there? Okay.
I think because World's End went a week later.
World's End is a week earlier than.
Okay, well, that's what it is. World's End went a week earlier. I believe there's a weekend in between.
Okay. So yeah, Laurel Highlands and World's End, I think they're beautiful. But the way I compare, I think Laurel Highlands is a smidge prettier. But instead of having these great creek crossings that World's End has, Laurel Highlands, it's an older trail. It's been around for a long time. So there's every tiny creek crossing. Like if there's this much water, there will be a bridge, like a little footbridge across it.
So
you
don't
have to get your feet wet. You never get your feetsies wet. I mean, it is a nice runnable. I mean, runnable for you. I had to hike all of the climbs, but I mean, in terms of technicality, I think because the trail is so much older, it's just worn in more. So when you are running on rocks, the rocks are pretty solid. They're not going to move around a whole lot and you can just fly across it. I had a great time there and I kept my problem at the beginning is that I kept going off trail because there'd be vistas like just off trail. So I would take pictures and then I'd come back to the race.
Right.
But I had a really, really good time. That was quite a memorable experience. It was a good one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So I don't think you will have a hard time transitioning from one to the other at all.
We shall see. I'm worried about one race at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to go.
Yeah.
So, speaking of races, so anybody tuning in, we would like to hear the really dumb mistakes you've made while you've been running / racing in your past. And also the stuff that you did that worked amazing or like you wouldn't have expected, whether it's eating a shot of pickle, drinking a shot of pickle juice for the first time and it's amazing, or eating a big old wiener and it gives you superpowers. I don't know. But if you have anything, let us know on the chat and we will add it to the show. So I don't know. You want to go back and forth? I don't have a huge list of either, honestly, for myself. Right. I asked my children, I asked Lauren, I asked Becky, we got a couple, but what do you have? What's the one, what would be your top, at the top of the list for the worst thing you ever did when you were running or racing? Like just don't, like you regret the fact that you did it.
I can't think of a lot that I regret altogether, but there were definitely some dumb mistakes that I've made. I think I've probably talked about all of them on the show at some point because they're just fun things that you constantly remind yourself of. One of them that wasn't too long ago, almost 2 years ago now, I ran the Wild Goose 100, which was during Tropical Storm Ophelia. And I was going between wearing pants or wearing shorts. When I wear shorts, I go commando. When I wear pants, the seam kind of dictates that I should not go commando. I could not find my undie scrundies in any of my stuff. They were there. I found out later on when I unpacked everything, but I just couldn't find them. And that was a mistake, to not organize my stuff in such a way that I could find my little undie scrundies when I needed them. So I ended up using a buff for my muff, a muff buff, which is what we call it now, to rectify the situation. So it worked out, but just not being totally organized with my stuff, if that makes sense. And the crew space for Wild Goose, you come back to your crew spot pretty often. There's three different loops that you do. So when you come back to a crew spot that often, I think it's important to be organized and have everything in such a way that you can get in and out. And I didn't do that. So I'm going to go, that's pretty high on my list. Pretty high on my list.
I think that's I think you did an excellent job of using that as a segue into what one of my worst ones would be. Now, this was when I ran a mountain masochist 50 miler in Virginia, I think.
Yeah.
That it might have been my first 50 miler. I was wet behind the ears several years ago. Went down with a couple friends to run it. Just a destination type race. But anyway, I had just gotten this pair of Salomon. I think they're supposed to be underwear, but they were tights. Like, what do you call the tights that go down to like above your knee? What kind of pants?
They're shorts.
Yeah, but like,
you would call those shorts.
They're spandex though.
They're compression shorts. Yeah.
They're shorts. We'll go compression shorts.
Sure.
But it was underwear. And this was like an $80 pair of underwear because it was Salomon. I was like, well, I'm a runner now. I'm going to have the best underwear out there. Salomon is legit. We're getting this underwear. And everybody's going to be like, whoa, where'd you get that underwear? So I wore the compression shorts. And I also had regular running shorts over top. So the compression, you know, you could see them, but that's not part of the story. But anyway, I don't know how many miles in I was running along, and a lot of that race is dirt road. So you can, there's a lot of vulnerable stuff, but you know, I started feeling a little burn, just a little burn down in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
And it kept getting worse and worse. I'm like, I'm chafing and it's way too early in the race here. And I have $80 pair of underwear on. Like, this shouldn't be happening, but I got to fix the problem. Like, and it got bad. Like, it got to the point where I was like, I have to remove this item from my body because this is harming me. So on the middle of the race course, and there was more people around than you would think in a 50-mile trail race, but I found a tree to hide behind. And because it was my underwear, I had to get buck naked as quick as possible. It's a race and I'm competitive. Yeah. So like, this was all in a rush, rip these things off. And throw my shorts back on. Luckily, I'm guessing my shorts had a liner or whatever. Maybe they didn't. I just went free ball, and I don't know. But I pretty much just threw them away at that point. They were worthless to me.
Yeah.
This dumb mistake. I had never worn those things in any training run or anything.
Yeah. And that reminds me of, I think this was probably my worst mistake. Probably my worst mistake was trusting a tree branch when I should not have trusted a tree branch, because I was bare from the waist down while I was, I tried to use a log to be comfortable while I did my business and ended up pooping on the log. And then I trusted a branch to hold my weight. The branch then broke and then I fell into it, which I know I've told this story before, so I won't go into all the details because it's on another episode somewhere. I fell into it and it got all over my arm and my backside. And I spent a lot of time, probably too much time, cleaning myself up. And I finished the first 50K of the duck on time, but then I DNF'd the second half. or I didn't get to the second half on time to start the second half. And had I not trusted this branch or done a better job of figuring all of this out, it probably, I might've finished that year. I don't know, but
yeah,
don't trust a branch. And also if you're using a log, if you're doing the over the log method, there are several methods to pooping in the woods. And one of them is to hang yourself on the other side of the log to make sure you're actually on the other side. Even while it was happening, I was like giggling at myself because it was such a dumb mistake. I'm going to regret this. And I definitely did.
You got to stick with the orangutan hang. That's the best one. You take a small tree that, you know, something you can hold on to with your hand or wrap your hand around it and just hold on and squat down and do your thing.
Yeah. I was tired. It was cold. It was below freezing. And bad decisions were made that night.
All right, moving on. Let's see, more bad. I have two from one race, and they're not bad decisions, just mistakes, I guess. Mm-hmm. In Black Forest 100K, Black Forest Trail Ultra, the year I ran it, it was raining before the race started, and it rained for 7 hours after the rain started. And I thought a rain jacket was a rain jacket. My rain jacket was water resistant, but not waterproof. Ooh. So I'm going to say the thing kept me like semi-comfortable for 20 minutes, maybe once the race started. And then it's everything soaked through, and it was absolutely worthless. So that was a big mistake. And the other big one that happened at that race, and it happened shortly after the race started, was I wore a hydration vest with my bottles, not a bladder, bottles up front. And I don't know what brand bottles they were, but I went to take a sip of one 20 minutes in, half hour in. And, you know, it might have been the nipple that you pull up on and then liquid comes out as you suck, but you can also make liquid come out faster if you squeeze the bottle a little bit, just a little, you know, on your chest. Well, I squeezed it and the whole nipple flew off into the mountain laurel and it's pitch dark out.
Oh no.
So here I am doing the 60-mile race. I'm trying to win. I'm trying to run hard. And I just lost two of my bottles.
Didn't you set the course record that year?
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought so.
But it was all this stuff happened between the jacket and that nipple. And it was like, I was in the best headspace I've ever been in. I'm like, this is fine. It's not a big deal. We're going to recover from this and move on. And I found the way. Like, it was fine.
Yeah.
But I just remember seeing the nipple flying through the air and it's dark. So it's going into this wet mountain laurel. I'm like, I don't have time to stop. And even if I do stop, I'm never going to find that thing.
No. Yeah.
And then obviously half of my electrolyte drink was all over my chest at that point as it's raining down.
Yeah. Hey, I'm glad Roxanne Strine just tuned in. She said that she's hitting 300 miles tomorrow. Rox is heading on the Appalachian Trail. She's through hiking it. It's very exciting. Hey, Rox.
We're hiking the trail and she still tunes in to Running Mullet.
What I love that.
Animal.
And so I say that too, because one of my happy accidents, I call it a happy accident, the weekend of lockdown of COVID. So that kind of very first weekend where it was like everybody knew that come Monday, everything was going to be shut down, right? And that weekend was the weekend of Georgia Death Race, which I was signed up to run. And I had DNF'd it the year before. I had done a ton of training to get ready. I felt really good going in. And then the race was pushed to, you know, they didn't know a date at the time. It ended up, it did happen in the fall. And I did finish it, by the way. But I was pretty bummed that it was getting canceled. And a happy accident was I had reached out to Roxanne Strine because I was like, hey, you know, this happened. I'm thinking I might just do the Mason-Dixon Trail. And she had said, she's like, I know you want to do the Mason-Dixon Trail, but you weren't planning for 200 miles. You don't want to start it and not finish it. She said the Conestoga Trail is about the same distance as Georgia Death Race. It's 66 miles and there's no female FKT for it right now. So you could go any pace you want and still grab the FKT.
Right.
So she suggested to me to do the Conestoga Trail. And I did do the Conestoga Trail. I did finish it. And that was my very first FKT. And since then, I've done a few others and kind of fallen in love with that experience of the FKT. And really appreciate that she suggested it to me. And that was this little, and that's how I met James Weaver. He paced me for the last 10 miles. And we spent like 10 miles, 4 feet apart. Because it was that weekend where I think we were all pretty nervous still, you know, and that was a happy accident, was getting to have that experience and meeting James and starting what would end up being several FKTs.
Yeah, we've talked about FKTs quite a bit. There, it's definitely a different field than racing, and
yeah,
and that everybody should give it a try.
Kudos to Bob for getting as far as he did too.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's see. Bad.
Oh, I just did a good one though.
Oh, okay, we're doing good. Yeah. I don't have a lot of good ones because I was thinking of it more as like good decisions that I made that I wasn't planning on making, where I'm not that type of runner. Like I try to stick to what I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't have a ton that popped in my head. Mm-hmm. I did have, for the first time ever at Eastern States, at when it used to be Slate Run Aid Station, mm-hmm. Which is mile 62-ish. No, I'm sorry. It was an aid station before that. But anyway, the last year I did it, a couple years ago, I didn't feel good out of Heiner. So I made it to the next aid station and I had a beer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was always told that it can settle your stomach and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And it didn't hurt me, but it didn't help me right away. But I think it might have helped like kind of settle my stomach. Because of the carbonation. A big bottle of Coke might have done the same thing at the time. I don't know. But I actually sat down and drank a beer during that Eastern States.
Nice.
I'm not, you know, that's not something I would normally do in an ultra. And I know people do regularly.
Yeah.
But no, not myself.
Yeah. It can be refreshing.
The other one that I could think of off the top of my head, and it was a memory that popped up on Facebook today because I did that race 5 years ago or whatever. It was when I ran two marathons in 2 days. I fueled off of Martin gels. And that was the first race I was road racing, but that was the first time that I'd used them for a race. And I was very pleased with how they worked for me for those road marathons.
Mm-hmm.
Road marathons. They do work good for, I mean, they're good fuel all around. But at that time, when I was running, I'm like, oh my God, I feel that I'm not getting as fatigued as I normally would. So that was a decision that was a good decision, and I'm glad I used them.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm glad. And I think one of the good decisions that I think that I've made is just to continue to try out different fuel, because I think it's easy, especially because I have an iron gut and I can eat anything. It's easy for me to just say, I'm good. I can eat anything. But I think that's a trap. It's a trap to fall into when really I'm glad that I made the decision to continue to try out different fuels until I found what I perform best on, which is different. And I also found that I perform really well on Morton gels, at least for now.
Yeah.
So although I save them for race day, I don't use them any other time because they're too expensive.
Same here. I do have, I always have them on hand though. Yeah. Just to, I usually use them just to mix in here and there now too, because they're it's a neutral flavor, so it's nothing else. So I kind of like it for that.
Yeah. Shout out to the bike packers that I was out with my friend Heather this weekend, and we went down to Lock 12 on the Mason-Dixon Trail, and we came upon some bike packers who were just getting started for the morning, and they gave us some grilled cheese, and it was delicious.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds delicious. All right. I have the best good race/run decisions ever. You ready?
Oh, it's not going to be as good as mine, but go ahead.
Every single pacer or crew member I've ever had.
Uh-huh.
Best decision ever.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, I got one more before you give us this amazing one that you have that's going to always beat me because it's always a competition.
That's right.
I've done this only a few times, but running reckless and truly seeing what you can do, because never go out hard and see how long you can hold on. You'll never know how long you can hold on for or what you can truly do. We can train smart and all that stuff. I'm not saying not to. I'm not saying to train reckless, but sometimes you have to run at an intensity. If you're competitive, mind you, you have to run at an intensity that you're not sure you can keep up with, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not competitive. I'm not competitive, but I'm still going to agree with you. I think it's not required if you're not competitive, but it is a super fun thing to just mix in every once in a while. I remember you were there when I ran Green Monster 50K, which I'd run a couple times before. And there was one particular day where I felt really good. And I said, you know what, I'm going to keep pushing today and see what ends up happening. And if I don't blow up, then great. I think you got to do that every once in a while, at least for me. Like, I feel good doing that every once in a while. Usually I don't. Usually my goal is just to finish races, and I keep it a bit conservative because of that. When I did Squirrely half marathon, trail half marathon just a few weeks ago, I did the same thing. And I was talking to my friend Heidi at the beginning, and she's like, so what's your goal? And I was like, you know, if I'm feeling good after mile one, my goal is to send it. And if I'm not, then I'm here to have a good time. And so sometimes I think you don't know until you're in the race. But I ran a 2:24 at that race at a half trail, half marathon, which for me was blazing fast. And so even if you're not competitive, I think sometimes if you're feeling it, you just got to send it and see if you blow up or not, you know?
I mean, I think it's easy to get for all of us to just get comfortable. Right. So, and when I say that, I mean, comfortable knowing that, oh, I'm going up this hill and it feels hard. So this must be where I'm supposed to be, or, you know, so it's like, I don't know. I feel like there's a level that you can try to, that you might surprise yourself at. Everybody can.
Yeah. I think so too. And I think that can be scaled. You know, like sometimes that means pushing it at a 5K. You know, it doesn't have to be. I think for myself, I would probably never do that at like a 100 miler. That would be a bad idea for me because of my fitness level. But in a half marathon, right, I can kind of do that and see what happens. And I've always got another race around the corner. So I think even if you're not competitive, I think it's great advice. I like it.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. You're up.
Okay, best decision that I've made. You ready for this?
Go.
Best decision that I've made is deciding to go to some stranger's house who I'd never met before in person and only heard as a guest on podcast, who has an amazing, super hot, super amazing wife, and stay the night and then go to some crazy run in this dude's backyard.
Yeah.
Best decision.
I think that was your best decision too.
Best decision.
That dude is pretty hot too. His wife's hot, but dude's pretty hot.
He's okay. Second to that, though, here's another one that I gotta add in is being in the I think it was actually on the Idiot Runner Facebook page, if it existed back then. I think it did. And I was looking for a pacer for World's End 100K. And this guy responded, who I'd never met before in person, but he seemed pretty nice. And I met him while I was on the course, and it was Chris Young. And he was a great choice for a pacer. And I just didn't know how great of a decision that would have been at the time. But that was a good decision for me to just kind of take a chance that this guy is going to be a great pacer for me. And he was, and it was Chris. And now I'm friends with Chris, and Chris is just such a nice guy. He's a good dude.
Chris is the best pacer, crew member, aid station helper, aid station captain.
Right.
Oh my God. He does so much.
Those were two great decisions. Like, I make good decisions when it comes to like people who I end up being friends with. Like, whew, man, yeah. I think there's just a lot of great people out there. I don't think it has to do with me, but you know,
I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit of everything.
Okay. You got any other bad ones, bad decisions you made?
Yeah, I got a couple. Don't try to run an FKT on Mid-State Trail in July.
Yeah, that was, why did you pick July? Was it a work schedule thing?
That's back to COVID. My A race for the year COVID hit was Ouray, 100 miler, only the hardest 100 miler out there. And it got canceled like 3 weeks mm-hmm. beforehand because of COVID. And I already had the time scheduled off, a full week or whatever. And so I just real quick transitioned, and Becky was off because she's a teacher, so she had mm-hmm. off for the summer. That's why. I mean, yeah, the reason is because even though the amazing volunteers out there keep that trail hikeable and runnable, there's still many sections that are overgrown at that time of year with fast growing briars.
Yep.
So, it wasn't the whole trail, but some sections were pretty horrible. That's just a funny one. Some things to kind of think about with Heiner coming up, and we've talked about this before, but a very bad decision that everybody better not make is don't start out too far back in the pack, especially mm-hmm. at Heiner, because it will get bottlenecked.
Yes. Yep. All right. Now I don't know if it's me who's frozen or it's you who's frozen. Is it Eric or is it me? Can you guys tell me in the chat? it's bad to get bottlenecked in Heiner. I do think it is, it's nowhere you should be in that pack. And one of the things that I always hear from people is they think that they're going to, thank you, Angie, it's Eric who's frozen, people who think they're going to be in the back of the pack, especially for the 25K, and they're actually closer to the middle of the pack than they think they're going to be. So I think it's good advice to not start too far in the back, because it is going to be bottlenecked. And also, I would say some good advice, and we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about this in 2 weeks. But I think that one mistake is going into Heiner and thinking that it's going to be your fastest 25K or your fastest 50K. It's, you just kind of settle into the into the chain of people, especially for the 25K. The 50K is not as bad, but there is a bottleneck and it's fine. You just make friends while you're there. Okay. So one of my big mistakes was my very first 50K, which I decided to do 2 weeks after my very first half marathon. So I ran the Iron Masters 50K, which has, I think, around 5,000 feet of gain, something like that. And I had never run a trail race before. I had never run an ultra before. I had never run more than 13 miles ever. My biggest hike was 14 miles. And I decided to do a 50K because I figured I can probably do that. And so I did a 50K and I wore my cotton leggings because I didn't understand that you should wear sweat wicking materials because I thought that was for serious runners. And I was like, I'm not a serious runner. I'm just going to look like a poser if I try to wear other stuff. So I wore like these cotton pants and it was pretty hot that day, but I didn't wear shorts back then because, that's a whole different story, but I didn't wear shorts at all. I was wearing pants and I was wearing a cotton tank top and I had headphones, these pink headphones that were wired headphones that I had wired into my cell phone so I could listen to music the entire time. And that was my plan, was to wear these headphones, and I wasn't paying attention to the people around me who were probably trying to pass me. And I figured my first half marathon was like I ran like a 240, just under 245, something like that. And so when I was calculating my finish time, I thought, well, a half marathon is half of a marathon. So a full marathon would probably take me, 6 hours? So I'll add a little bit. So 7.5 hours, I should finish a 50K with 5,000 feet of elevation gain in 7.5 hours. Yeah, no, it took me 10.5 hours. So I think the mistake there was completely not knowing what I was getting myself into. I did not know anybody who ran trails and I did not know anybody who ran ultras. And jumped right in. And then the other mistake that I made, I got to like the mile 20 aid station, had drop bags. And I had a drop bag with shoes and socks because I figured I should change my shoes and socks so I don't get blisters, which I did not need to do whatsoever. So I changed my shoes, I changed my socks, and I just sat there and hung out at the aid station. Nobody at the aid station kicked me out when they should have. And I just sat there cross-legged for a while. So my IT band's completely locked up. I ran the last 2 miles like with straight legs, just like back and forth. And it was absolutely, and then I couldn't run for probably 3 months. And so that was not a good decision. Don't run your first ultra without having any idea what you're doing, Eric.
I don't know what happened to my internet, but it just left the building. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Did you just jabber on?
I did. I jabbered on a little bit, but it was very lonely without you. I'm so glad that we do this together.
I'm sorry I left so unannounced. I don't really know what happened there.
That's okay.
Why are people saying my name on the chat?
Because I asked if it was me frozen or you frozen, and they told me that it was you.
Good, good.
I thought that it was me.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm not very computer.
But we got there, and so I told the story of my first 50K, which was a very bad idea. I should not have done that. And I say that because, like, you can make mistakes, I think, in ultras, but you can make a lot of rookie mistakes and all that is fine. But ultimately, like, I couldn't run for 3 months. So that was a bad decision because I was in a lot of pain for a very long time. And that's when it turns into a bad decision is when you put yourself in a lot of pain for a very long time. So,
yeah. The last bad decision I can think of, or I have before we wrap this show up, is when you're racing, follow flagging and not other runners. Don't get confident following other runners.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky was the one that gave me this little tidbit of bad decision making because it's kind of happened to her a couple times.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
even though the chances are the runners in front of you are going to lead the way the right way, there's also a good chance that a group of you might go the wrong way and then all of you make the wrong turn. So make sure you're seeing course markings for yourself.
Yep. Agreed. I also did that in my very first ultra. I added on like another mile.
Nice.
it was the crazy thing is that I was happy the whole time. I was very excited and had no idea how bad this experience truly was and how many rookie mistakes I made in one race.
Oh, well, now look at you.
Yeah.
All right. Are we good? Can we wrap this up?
I have to add in Kaylee's. One of my best decisions was wearing Kaylee's Moo Cow shorts. That was a very good decision on my part.
That was a revealing decision, but yeah.
Trying to squat Kaylee was probably a great idea. I think that was one of my best decisions. Oh, I was like, I'm pretty sure I can squat her.
I think one of the best decisions anybody could ever make is coming up to do some idiot loops personally.
Yeah. I think a good decision is to try out something different. And I did do that at my very first 5K. I tried something a little bit different because certainly this body is built to be a power lifter and not a runner. So I don't know how I ended up in this sport. It makes no sense, but I'm glad I'm here.
Yeah, here we are.
Yeah. Most of the time we're here.
I can't control these things. I don't know what you want from me.
Perfection, Eric. I want perfection all the time.
I just like to know why it happened. It never happened before.
Well, nobody's going to explain it. It's magic.
Well, now this lucky hat has plenty of my smell and grease on it. So that's good.
Yeah.
Pick this up on next week's show. Maybe I'll wear an orange one next week for one lucky purchaser.
That sounds great. What are you doing this weekend?
I am hopefully getting a really long, long run in. Long and slow and just hours on my feet is my plan. Weather doesn't look super duper, but whatever. I gotta run in all kinds of weather. So
that's right.
By you.
Probably going to join Clara because her birthday is this weekend and she wants to do some miles on the Appalachian Trail. So there's quite a few of us are going to head over there. Hit me up if you want to join.
Nice.
It's going to be fun. And then other than that, I'm kind of finalizing gear for my Horseshoe Trail attempt and finalizing plans and trying to get everything organized. It's a lot.
Yeah. Keep trucking. Keep organizing it now so you don't have to panic at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Bob and I were just talking about this. You do on with an FKT because he goes unsupported. I'm going self-supported. But the two have some similarities. And unlike a race where you can kind of figure stuff out as you go, these FKT attempts, you really have to have pretty much everything figured out ahead of time. And like all the planning goes in before the FKT. And so you spend a whole lot of time planning and then hope it goes well.
Yep. All right. I can't stop yawning. So
okay. That's it. Okay.
Thanks everybody for joining in. We'll see you next week. Yep. Tell all your friends for the 109th time. What else you got?
That's all I got. Tune in every Monday, 7:30 Eastern time to hear Eric whine about likes.
Yes.
We'll see you next week. I enjoy it.
And it's going to be an amazing show. So yeah. Be there.
Yep. Yep. Pre-game for Heiner is coming up. Next week's going to be also a good show. All the weeks are good shows. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. You're amazing. Bye.